For Brian Higgins, it's his third ride in a Group 1. He's trying to win his first Group 1 on Prix de Turn. And for young trainer Matty Brown, Prix de Turn would become only the only horse in history to win a Caulfield Guineas at its second start. And it's great to catch up with Brian this morning. Morning, Brian. Are you well?
Yeah, I'm well. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You've been around for such a long time now, Brian. You're a well-respected, hard-nosed rider. But do you get a bit toey with a big ride like this today?
No. I'm pretty level-headed. Nothing really fazes me. So today is just like every other day. Nothing really changes.
And there's no pressure, really, Brian, is there? You're going in as a promising horse, but a $34 chance. And the biggest task you've got is to try and overcome the car park alley. Have you tried to work that out yet?
Yeah. Oh, look, I'd be a nervous wreck if I was in Ollie's spot, but I reckon, you know, where I am, you know, I've got the right horses, actually. I know we drew out wide and we've got a few things against us, but Animo's drawn to inside us and forgot you's inside me, so... just keep things simple today and hopefully things pan out.
Brian, I read somewhere that you treat the Group 1 races as if you're riding in a maiden at Bairnsdale, which sort of is appropriate because from that barrier, you're pretty much starting from Bairnsdale.
Yeah, that's right. We had a little joke around this morning. Matt said, I hope you walk the track today and have a look where you're starting from out of the barriers. I said, there's no point. We galloped out there the other morning, so you've seen plenty of it already. But, yeah, just sort of treat every race like fans, though. That's the way I sort of approach every ride. But, the barrier didn't help us.
Maybe give Shane Dyer a ring. He tracked a pretty weird course around Caulfield and the Caulfield Cup one year and just got rolled out there. Tell us about the project. You're a Cranbourne jockey. Matty Brown is a Cranbourne trainer. There was obviously a bit of behind-the-scenes planning going into this, and it is, as Michael said, it's a very unusual task, a second start in a Caulfield Guineas. There must have been a really strong vibe about Prix de Turn. I think he was a ready-to-run horse right from the moment he started to hit stride down there.
Yeah, that's correct. Matt purchased him in the Breeze Ups from Sydney. He's obviously a New Zealand bred by Termy Loose, and Matt's parents actually raced Termy Loose, so they sort of found him at the sales and wanted to purchase one, and this one caught Matt's eye. But he's quite a stunning looking colt. He's got a great attitude, which obviously they like from early doors, and he's above average. He's probably a little bit behind the eight ball. Would have been nice to have another run under his belt before today, but he stood on a shoe and didn't miss any work, but just couldn't get to the races with it. And he also banged his nose, and that set us back again. So it wasn't the ideal scenario, but we believed in his ability, and that's why Matt kicked him off in the race that he did, thinking that he could go there and win, and he nearly did. So he's above average, and I know it's a bit of a throw at the stumps today, but we're realistic at our thing, but he's not the worst in the race.
What's the mindset? There will be those out there who are thinking, gee, he could easily have gone through a maiden and a Class 1 and built and worked his way up, and you've thrown him in the deepest end of the Pacific Ocean here. Difficult to see? Was there always plan B that was nearly taken up to go to something easier?
Look, I'm not sure. I sort of leave that up to Matt. He's trained more winners than I have. But, he's a three-year-old. He's a colt. These races, you know, if all the stars aligned and he did win, it's a stallion-making race. There was obviously a backup plan. I'm not sure what that was. And this is their first option, and that's what they wanted to go like. And if you can get them into the race, why not have a go? It's been a good effort by the team, and something they should be proud of.
Brian, you've had a couple of Group 1 rides. One was in a previous Caulfield Guineas. Can you tell us about those experiences?
Yeah, obviously. I rode Mr. Exclusive. He actually goes around today in an earlier race. I rode him in the Guineas 3 or 4 years ago, and he drew great that year. I think he drew 3, and he had a dream run, and I think he ran 6th or 7th. And it was obviously a bit more straightforward that year with the barrier, but last year I rode in the Oaks. She just got a fair way out of her ground. She probably wasn't quite ready at the time, but it's they're the experiences I've had so far.
Is it that much different? I mean, you hear sportsmen say once you run out on the ground, it's all familiar again, whether it's a grand final or round one or a maiden at Bairnsdale or a Caulfield Guineas. Is it actually not that hard to shut it out once you're on the horse's back and it's all familiar again and it's just another race?
Yeah, obviously there's the high-pressured races. You know, there's no, you know, you can't just barge your way out. They're not going to allow you. You know, like it's a little bit more argy-bargy, so to speak. But as soon as you get on the horse, it's just like every other day, and you try and keep things as plain and as simple as you can, because when you start overthinking things and start looking into it and things like that, that's when things can go horribly wrong and you get it wrong.
You've obviously got a great connection with Matty Brand. Obviously, you rode Mr. Exclusive in the Guineas a few years ago for him, but he's a pretty amazing story himself. He's just a young trainer, and his parents obviously have had ownership in horse racing. He was a concreter, left school at 14, and then said, you know, I wouldn't mind having a crack at this after Richie Lamming said, do you want to come down to the stable? So for a young guy to have such an impact already, he must have a lot of ability. Where did your connection fit in with Matt Brown?
Yeah, well, it was back in those younger days when he started off at Lamming's. I was working for Lamming's at the time and doing a fair bit of riding for him. And he was a young boy that just rolled in. Pretty cocky back then, but he obviously was around the horses. Scott and Linda have raced the horses for many years, and they had horses at Lamming's, so that's where he ended up. And obviously one thing stemmed into another, and he took great interest in it straight away. And I really take my hat off to him. I'm really proud of the way that he's developed so quickly. His horses have turned out immaculately, and he's obviously got a great backing behind him with his mum and dad. They raced a fair few horses with him, and he's progressed his business even wider than that. Now we've got a great bunch of owners, and they're happy to support him. And although he's young, he's got a good eye for a horse, and I think he's got years above him. You know, you'll only get better. He won't get any worse. So, all the best to him.
It's a bit like sitting in a departure lounge waiting for a plane that's leaving in 7 hours' time. You could almost get 18 holes in before your race day obligation.
If you're allowed
today
to play 18.
You could probably have a nice old spin around. How's the day going to play out for you?
Oh, look, it was business as usual this morning. I went to Pakenham, rode work for Moody, and I nipped back over to Cranbourne and rode a couple more for Matt. And then come home and went for a walk and spent some time with the kids. And, I don't know what I might do.
Do it all again.
So there's going to be time to kill. I actually haven't thought about that. So, you never know. I might have a nap for an hour or so and get to the race nice and early and have a look at the track.
Hey, you mentioned you've been working with Moods down there at Pakenham. Have you jumped on the big horse Incentivise at all?
I've only sat on him once. I did an exhibition gallop on him at Pakenham one day, early doors, and he's a nice big horse. He's obviously above average. He could be anything, really. He's the way he's been winning his races, he's very tough, and all the best to him. You know, I hope they win the features with him.
Just tell us a bit more about what he feels like, because you have spent a lot of your career doing the rounds, and then suddenly there's this magic horse comes along, and he's bloody 17 hands. What's he like? Does he feel like any other horse, or does he feel a bit different?
To be honest with you, he's a bit of a plain Jane. He's got a lovely big stride. He covers the ground. He's got an awesome set of lungs, and he's pretty chilled out. But he is pretty plain Jane, to be honest. I sat on him thinking, you know, you get off and go, wow, that's the best thing I've ever ridden. But it was sort of only mediocre sort of work, and but I just think that's his asset. You know, he's got this big action. You know, he's a huge horse, and he uses his action really well and covers the ground. And he's obviously a real racehorse. He's got that gritty fight in him, as we've seen in the last couple of runs that he's had. That when they hit him, he hits another gear and gets him with the fight.
It's going to be an exciting countdown for everyone involved with Incentivise the next 7 days, and As Matty said, the next 7 hours will be exciting for you as well, Brian. Good luck in the Guineas today. I hope you get a good run from that gate, and who knows? It has been a race where the impossible has happened before, so we wish you all the best.
Good on you, guys. Thanks for having me.